Amen. Father, we ask that you'd bless your word to us. Father, we thank you that your word is powerful. It's living, it's active, it's life-changing. It's sustenance for our lives, Father. We love you, Lord. Amen. And amen. If you want to turn your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, I have a big Bible here because I found it somewhere in the building a couple of months ago. And no one's claimed it, so it's a good Bible. But no, there's a name on it, and actually, word of the last I heard of this person is they're living on the street. And I'm holding it for him until he comes back to receive his call. And but it's a big Bible, and you know, the writing's bigger and it's cool. And But Scotty was telling me he had a big Bible like this, and he was up in the north. And this wee woman came over to him and she says, "My daddy used to say, the bigger the Bible, the bigger the hypocrite." Look at the size of Scotty's Bible now. You know, I was thinking, you go back up with, you know, one of those that's on a key ring. You know, the little one. I don't believe that, actually. That's because I have a big Bible this morning. Luke chapter 1. Pretty familiar time of the year that we're entering into. We're entering into Christmas season and all that it brings with it. And I actually love Christmas. I love Christmas because I get to be with my family for days without interruption. And I love going down to my ma's and meeting all my brothers and sisters, all turn up at my ma's on Christmas and wreck her head for a while. But she's gone deaf now, so she doesn't care. She just sees us. And she speaks her mind a lot. And we go in, and she, as soon as we get in, she goes, "When are they going?" She says to my sister. She's crazy. But it's really funny, you know, because she thinks because she's deaf and she doesn't hear anything that we don't hear anything. So she looks at my sister and she goes, "When are they going?" You wouldn't want to be sensitive. But it's a great time. And I know Christmas is not great for everybody, but there's a great occasion. It was a great event that happened. That God sent the Son. And this is the time that we celebrate. It was the greatest event that ever happened on earth. That God was coming to encounter mankind in the form of a man. He was coming to walk amongst his creation. And I want to look over the next couple of weeks different encounters in the lives of ordinary people that led up to the great day when Jesus was born, and that what we celebrate at this time of the year. I want us to look at what was happening. It was, we call it Christmas. I don't know where the definition of Christmas came or what does it mean, but my understanding of it is that Christmas is Christ being made available to the masses. Christmas, to the multitudes, to the world. That Christ was coming now, and all mankind who ever received him, he gave the right to be called sons of God. An incredible event. God making salvation available to all mankind. But there was people encountered God at this stage. People, God used and chose certain earth-shattering, heaven-revealing events to show himself to ordinary people in the lead-up to the purpose of God being unveiled to mankind. And the purpose of this message and of this time regarding encounters, I want to raise your expectation of encountering God afresh. I want to raise our expectation that God wants to meet us. I want to raise the expectation of possibly God breaking into my world and your world in a new way, in a new dynamic. I don't want their expectation to be here. I want their expectation to be so high that we give God due honor in what we expect of him. You become a Christian and you pray the most outrageous prayers. And you get older and as a Christian and your outrageous prayers become safe, theological, And somehow faith goes out the door with that. You experience ups and downs. You experience stepping out in faith and God not meeting that because it was probably my own idea anyway. And God, I have an expectation that when I have an idea, you have to meet it. And God is saying, who made you God? I thought it's my will now. Oh yeah, forgot. He wants to meet us. He wants to encounter us. And the first people I want to look at is a couple called Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth. Let me do a quick background check on them. He was a priest that worked in the temple from the division of Abijah. They were both, you find this in Luke chapter 1, they're both upright people. They're both right with God. They're both upright in the eyes of God. They both served God and kept his commandments. They had no children. As Elizabeth was barren and she was old. So they were ordinary people in loads of ways, going to work, living life, living with disappointments. Good, righteous type people. And then in Luke 1 and verse 11 it says, his lot had fallen. Like they used to pick lots. And his lot fell that his lot was picked to go in to burn the incense in the temple. And I like the way he says his lot fell. The lot fell on Zechariah. And I'm going, yeah, right, when you read the rest of the story. So he goes in, and then it says in verse 11 of chapter 1 of Luke, it says, then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will give him the name John. He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He will never take wine or fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth. He was one who was going to take an old vow called the Nazarite vow, that he wouldn't cut his hair, he wouldn't touch any alcohol, he'd grow a beard, all that stuff. Now he's nowhere, I got the beard. And he'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. Many of the people of Israel will he bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of the prophet Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well on in years. He was a wise man, wasn't he? He says, I'm an old man, but the wife is well on in years. Not revealing very much. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I have been sent from God to speak to you and to tell you good news. And now you will be silent and not be able to speak until the day that this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true in their proper time. Meanwhile, the people waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs, but was unable to speak. Here was a man going to work. Here was a man that had worked in the temple, doing the things that he's always done, doing the everyday things, living in disappointment. They were righteous before God, but in the eyes of people in Israel at that time, if a woman was barren, it was because it was sin in their lives, because they weren't right with God, and this was now God's punishment to them. But this is not so in this case, because the Bible says that they were righteous in the sight of God. So they were living with a disappointment. They were living with a shame. They maybe had moved on from it, that it was just something they carried in life, and they were now older, and were like, okay, you know, children are way out of the equation. But God encountered people, this couple, to bring to pass his purposes. John the Baptist was going to play a major role in the preparation of the way for the Messiah. That he was going to lead the way. He's the one that called out in the midst of the wilderness. He come out with his camel hair and eating locusts and honey and covered just in cloths of animals. And he'd come out and he'd speak to Israel. And he would say, repent, turn away, prepare the way for the Lord, because he's coming. And many rejoiced in this. And also he had many enemies as a result of it. But it says when the time, in verse 23, when Zechariah's time of service was complete, he returned home. And after this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. And for 5 months, she remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown me his favor and taken away my disgrace amongst my people. That God broke into my world, into our world, and we encountered him. And as a result, his purpose was set in motion for the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. Secondly, encountering God for Elizabeth and Zechariah, she received a miracle. She received something that was impossible before that her husband had encountered God. Not only after that, but after she encountered, shame and guilt and disgrace was taken away from this couple. It's amazing when you encounter God, what happens. It's amazing when God breaks in to your world and to my world, to my life and to your life. He takes away shame. He can take away guilt. He brings purpose. He brings future. He brings miracles with him. I want us in these months, in these days, to have our expectations so high that we don't play God down in any way. But who knows when he'd show up, to whom he'd show up, where he'd show up, what time, what place, what avenue, what temple, what workplace, what bedroom. Just further on, you read another account of an ordinary girl. Her name is Mary. Background check, 14 years of age. They reckon. A virgin, betrothed, ready to be given in marriage to a man called Joseph. And it says, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel again, this time to Nazareth, to a place in Galilee. He sent the angel to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored of God. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary says, tell me, how will this be? Since I am a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And he says, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to give birth in her old age. And she who was said to be barren is in now in her 6 months of pregnancy. Mary, he says, for nothing is impossible with God. Mary, nothing is impossible with God. She says, I am the Lord's servant. I will do, she was saying, whatever he wants. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left. At that time, Mary got ready, hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby, John the Baptist, leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, Mary, and blessed is the child that you are going to bear." But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt with joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Whew. Some encounter. 14-year-old girl going to be given in marriage to Joseph. The angel comes from the presence of God. She's afraid. Don't be afraid. You're going to have a baby. I'm a virgin. How is this going to happen? The total difference between Zechariah and Mary was unbelievable. Zechariah was more of the nature, "This can't happen." Mary was like, "How is this going to happen? Tell me. Let it be so as you said." He was standing on the ground of unbelief. She was standing on the ground of belief. He was standing on the ground, "This will never happen." She was standing on the ground, "Bring her on." His expectations of God was zilch. Her expectations of God was so high. God, yeah. Yeah, God can make a virgin pregnant. Zechariah, we're old. We've been around the block. You know, we know it all. We're religious. Mary, whatever you say, it's going to be done. You know, we always have a decision to make when God speaks. Zechariah, oh, Mary. As a result of God encountering Mary, an ordinary woman. You know what I called her in my notes? Ordinary Mary. A young girl in a nowhere town. You know, to get a husband in them days was huge for your well-being and your welfare of living. A husband that works and... She was ordinary Mary. She was an ordinary girl who, when God spoke to her, she says, "Yeah, I'll do anything that you ask me to do." What was the results? God's purposes was prevailing. That he knew what he'd spoke through the prophet years and years and years ago was now coming to pass, that the virgin would be found with baby. His purpose was being prevailed. A miracle took place that a virgin can't have babies without a man involved. A miracle took place. An incredible move of the Holy Spirit was released in her life and in those lives around him. I love this. I love this part where she goes and she's like, "I'm going to see Elizabeth. She's old. She's an old person. I'm going to see her. She walks into the room. John the Baptist inside of her jumps. Can you imagine him moving around in the water of the womb? In that place, he's staggering. He's full of the Holy Spirit from birth. The next time Jesus and John the Baptist meets, according to the Bible, not next time to me, but the next time it's revealed to us to me, both of them are standing in water again. And the Holy Spirit comes down from heaven again. Under Jordan, John is baptizing Jesus. Can you imagine, like, oh, every time we get together, brother, there's a move of the Holy Spirit. Every time I'm water. Do you know, and this is where I just want to bring us to this morning. That Mary moved onto such incredible ground. She moved from being this girl. She moved from saying, "Oh yeah, I can accept that." She says, "How is it going to happen? Tell me the details." Mary, for with God, nothing is impossible. She moved. Her expectation, the shift in faith, the shift from grounds was incredible. That she didn't just shift to a ground. She ran up a mountain in that moment. That the angel, that God moved her in this encounter from being an ordinary girl to being a girl who expected the impossible to happen. They expected the miracle of God to be brought through her. that she expected the Messiah to be born to rescue Israel, to rescue what she thought was Israel, but in fact it was to rescue the whole world. Every young girl, every young virgin of the time was were hoping that every young girl that got married was hoping that the baby she had would be the Messiah, would be the deliverer. She moved like absolutely worlds from where she was at. And you may say, and I may say, and I have said, I'm an ordinary person. Can you imagine God saying that? That's who I'm looking for. That's who I'm looking for. If you want to imitate anything to do with Mary, imitate her faith. Imitate her trust in God. Imitate that she says, okay, I'm one that's going to believe all things are possible because of God. For with God, there's nothing that has to remain impossible. For with God, all things are possible. You may say, my life is ordinary, but I want to tell you this morning, have an expectation that God can break in and that God can do something absolutely incredible right now. On your way home, when you're putting the baby to sleep, when you're walking to work, when you're writing your book or whatever, that God can break in and change your ground to a different ground. I read the story of a young girl, 12 years of age. Her name was Brooke Bronkowski. She was a junior high student. She started at 12 years of age a Bible study and spent all of her babysitting money on Bibles to give to people of her generation and school. She had a high expectation of God and her life. She wrote this little deal. She titled it, "Since I Have My Life Before Me." She says this, "I will live my life to the fullest. I will be happy. I will brighten up. I will be more joyful than I've ever been. I will be kind to others. I will loosen up. I will tell others about Jesus. I will go on adventures and change the world. I will be bold and not change who I really am. I will have no troubles, but instead help others with their troubles. You see, I will be one of those people who will live to be a history maker at a young age. I will have moments, good and bad, but I'll wipe away the bad and remember the good. In fact, all I will remember will be just those good moments and nothing in between. Just living my life to the fullest, I'll be one of those people who will go somewhere with a mission, an awesome plan, a world-changing plan, and nothing will hold me back. I will set an example for others. I will pray for direction. I have my life before me. I will give others the joy I have and have found in God. And God will give me more joy when I give my joy away. I will do everything God tells me to do. I will follow God's footsteps. I will do my best." Her expectation was so high of God. She said, "I'm going to reach my school. I'm going to spend my money on Bibles to give to my generation." 2 years later, she died in a car crash. Think about this fact. Madly in love with Jesus. She wrote that little deal about her life because her expectation of God was amazing. At her funeral, there was 1,400 young people. The pastor gets up and speaks of her life. Other people speak of her life. The pastor says, "You know what her goal was? That you would come to know the Jesus she knows." She said she had so much expectation that God was going to move in your life that she spent all of her babysitting money buying Bibles for you. He says to the 1,400, "Does anybody here wants to know the Savior that she knew?" 200 came up. They went behind the altar and brought out 200 Bibles that she had helped pay for. With our own money. Why? Because she had an expectation of God to do something with our little ordinary life. 12 years of age, she says, "I'm going to go places. I'm going to see people. I'm going to change the history. I'm going to be used by God in my generation. See, the joy I have, I'm going to give it away." Because she knew and she expected that the more she gave away, the more she received from God. What are we expecting? Are we expecting to be on ground of ordinary, or that we were open to God using us in an extraordinary manner? Why? Because with God, nothing is impossible. I need a miracle. Expect the impossible. For nothing is impossible with God. Expect the impossible. My husband is sick. Expect the impossible. My marriage is breaking down. Expect the impossible. For nothing is too difficult for God. I need a job. Expect the impossible. Expect it to happen. God won't show himself to me. I'm like Zechariah. I've been coming to church for a long time. Nothing seems new. Nothing seems to be happening in my life. It was the same with him. He was just doing his duty. He was just keep going along. And heaven came, broke into his world. He kept on going. He didn't expect that, but God came in. And I'm saying to us, expect him to come in. Expect him. If you've been coming to church and it's getting all dry, expect him. Lift your eyes, lift your expectation of God, because most times we get what we expect. Most times. God is gracious. But when we come into church, what do we expect? When we enter into worship team, what do we expect? What do we expect when we lead people? What do we expect when we counsel people? What do we expect when we give to people? What do we expect when we talk to someone? What do we expect when we do the stew crew? What do we expect on a Thursday night prayer? What do we expect in the connect groups? What do we expect when we pray? Because how we pray will tell us what we expect of God. How we pray will determine what, or will tell us what we're really expecting of God. I believe God just wants to lift our expectations of him. I believe he wants us to be lifted to elevate our vision of who he is and what he can do. I believe he wants us to move onto that ground of praying and believing for the impossible. That we don't just get strung out into church life and start moving around just in ordinary little Christianity. A man called John Wimber becomes a Christian in the 70s. He gets brought to a church because the guy that led him to the Lord told him to go to church. And he goes into church and they sing a couple of songs and they do the nice thing and wherever. And so he started to read the Bible. He started to get stuck into the Bible. You're missing everything if you don't get stuck into the Bible. He starts eating it. I read a commentary on him and he said he was devouring the Bible. He was reading the Old Testament, the New Testament. He was saying, God, show me what's in this. Show me what it means. He gets to where Jesus was. He reads the New Testament. He reads all the miracles that happened in Acts. And he goes one day up to the church, one of the guys in the church, and he says, okay, when are we going to do the stuff? And the man goes, we just done the stuff. We came to church. We sang a few songs. We gave a few bob. Money. We done our duty. And he goes, no, when are we going to do the stuff? The raising of the dead, the lepers being healed, the captives being set free. When are we going to see the blind eye? He goes, no, that doesn't happen anymore. He's like, you know what John Wimber says? I gave up drugs for this. That's what he said. I gave up drugs for that. He said, I want the expectations that God has placed on himself in his word. And anyone that knows that about Vineyard Ministries, they're the ones that moved in the whole power of healing, of movements of the Holy Spirit, because God broke into one man's world. I'm reading read some stuff in this book called Surprised by the Voice of God by Jack Deere. Jack Deere was a man that he was like Wimber. He came from a church like Wimber. Nah, God doesn't do that stuff anymore. The expectation of God was so low. He was in college and he started to do this study. And he was delivering this study at a conference in Atlanta. And I'll read it as he wrote it. That's okay. It says, in November of 91, I was speaking in an interdenominational conference in Atlanta. There was about 1,200 people present when I stood up that evening to speak. The theme of the message was that God is still healing and doing miracles in today's church. I had just started to speak when a man called Clement Hubbard, an old man sitting about the seventh pew on the right, collapsed and slid onto the ground. Someone said, I think he's dead. How would you like of being in charge of that service? I just begun to speak on the subject of healing and miracles, and someone dies. At first, I was so scared, I thought I might die too. What would you do if someone died at the beginning of your message on healing? What was going on here? Did the Lord want to give us a vivid illustration of his power to heal? Was this the devil coming in to taunt and challenge the church and challenge the notion that God could heal today? Was this the judgment of this man, just like Ananias and Sapphira in Acts? Whatever it was about to cause one preacher in the room to succumb to an anxiety attack. After the initial shock wore off, I asked all of the people in the room to pray that God would raise this man up. Someone ran to call the paramedics. When I got to him, I could not find a pulse and his skin was already turning blue. We carried his limp body to the back of the church and placed him on a couch in the foyer. Several of us laid hands on him and began praying for him. By the time the paramedics got there, he had not only begun to breathe, but he was able to stand up under his own power. Several people there, including a nurse, were sure that this man had died and been brought back to life. He says, I don't know whether Clement Hubbard really did die that night. I don't know if our prayers helped bring him back. I only know that when I returned to the pulpit, the story that I was going to read from, where a man fell out a window and died from the Bible, Acts 20. And Paul goes down and raised him up from the dead, became more relevant to all that was hearing. The expectation of God and what we expect is so important. Lift our expectation of who this God is. Allow him to encounter you. Can God deliver you? Yes, he can. Can God break into your world and cause what's impossible to become possible? I remember when we first became Christians up in the flats. We were mad. Honestly, but the Lord sent Joyer and Bob, a young 26-year-old, newly married couple from Oklahoma to Dolphins Barn. How crazy is God? They had to keep tabs on us, didn't you, Joy? I remember I was in a van full of us all going to a prayer meeting. A bloke, you would know him if I pointed him out to you. A brother pushing his other brother, and two blokes, drinkers, in a wheelchair. Your man had no legs. Robbie Roach jumps out of the van. Runs over, in Jesus' name, let's go. We're like, get him in here. We thought he was mad. We go up to a place up in the mountains. There's a big house. We wanted something for the teen challenge center. We're walking around this thing 7 times. We want this. I remember a girl dying out of flats. I went up to the morgue, put my hand on her head. In Jesus' name, get up, Eleanor. She didn't get up. But I want to tell you this, our expectations of God were so much that we were looking at people with no legs saying, grow back, get up out of the morgue, give me the house. And I don't know, but over time, somehow that drifts away on you, gets robbed on you. But God wants to encounter us so that we look and we pray the ridiculous. Not because it's ridiculous, but because we know that with God, all things are possible. Amen. 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 Amazing. Knowing God protects. We knew walking into situations with paramilitaries, speaking to them as if they were that size, and I was that size, because I knew God was with me. A man running down the flats to stick a knife in me back. Remember, John? An angel pushed him away from me. Them two were watching the mass. Damn, I had my back to him. I don't know why he was running down to stab me. I'm a nice guy. But he was. He must have mistaken me. My brother. Joking, Mark. But they said, no, he took the knife out there, was running to your back, and somehow he got pushed that way. Do you know what I've expected ever since? Angels to protect me. Because God raised the expectation. Look for him everywhere. Allow his voice to surprise us. Listen out for his voice. Listen out for what he sees. I remember we seeing God in everything. I remember we were going, boy, I'd hear the board whistling. Isn't God amazing? Truth. I remember Terry Munley, he got saved. He was an ex-mercenary in the Foreign Legion. Walking up by the kiln, there's all these different trees with different colors. Terry's crying. Why are you crying for Terry? I never seen colours like that before in my life. We've seen God in everything. We lived for years on by faith when I was in Bible college. No money coming in from everywhere, anywhere. But God sent it in from everywhere. I used to stand on my letterbox, Lord, you know what we need. The next morning there would be an envelope in my letterbox. I don't know who gave it. God bless if you're here. So when it came to believe for a million for the building, my expectation of God was way up there. Because he already provided for the bread. He already provided for the milk. And he shows that he's a provider. And your expectations get raised and raised. You have a need, expect him. Expect him. Elijah was in the brook. None to eat, but plenty of water. And God says, here, I'm going to send ravens by with food. It's absolutely ridiculous. To the natural, isn't it? Look for him. Lift your expectations. Lift your eyes. If you feel discouraged, lift them. God, with God, all things are possible. He wants to break into our world, where we're at, who, where we're at in their lives. He wants to break in. He wants to send his messengers. He wants to send his message of hope. He wants to send his provision. He wants to send his healing. Lift it up. No, like I pray for healing, I'm not being healed. Lift it up. No, I've stepped out in faith and I've been disappointed. Get back out in faith. No, I've let God down. Get up. You're forgiven if you ask him. Accept it. I have a great need, financial need. He's a God who provides all our needs. Finishing with this. This really touched me a couple of weeks ago with Rob Bell that we watched at the intimacy meeting. He says, in his great Californian accent, which I'm not going to try to do, because he's always slag me when I do accents. And he says, Moses going up the hill, an ordinary day, another day of minding the sheep. And he goes up and past another bush. He says, God speaks to him from a bush. God speaks to him from a bush. Now, to the natural mind, how ridiculous is that? But you know what Rob Bell said? How many bushes have I walked by and probably missed God? Do you know what? I bet you Moses looked at every bush after that. I bet you he was going around expecting God to speak to him again and again and again and again. Literal expectation. That God will speak to you and can speak to you through anything. And he wants to speak to us. Let's pray.